In a few minutes, a new model for higher education from Africa. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Barnes & Noble, the bookseller with 600 stores in the U.S., has had its troubles in this Amazon world. But an executive who turned around a famous British bookstore is now settling in as Barnes & Noble's CEO. My marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, spoke with James Daunt.
Coming in to lead a high-profile turnaround can be daunting for some bosses. For James Daunt, it's been more like a television comedy.
I think it's become sort of slightly like a bookselling version of The Office, adapting to different cultures and different ways of doing things. But I'm enjoying it.
After taking the helm in August, Mr. Daunt is blunt about the state of his company.
The challenge is considerable. The shops aren't very good. They don't look very nice because they haven't had much love, let alone dollars, invested in them, so they're all a bit tatty.
The British boss comes to the American bookseller with hopes of replicating the kind of turnaround he led at Waterstones, the UK's biggest book chain, which returned to profitability in 2016. He slashed discounting, closed underperforming stores, and made books something consumers wanted to buy. At Barnes & Noble, he plans to bring the focus back to books by displaying them in more attractive ways and allowing stores to look different from each other.
Our job is to make sure that those books get the best possible presentation and move away from this belief that you put exactly the same array of titles in every single store.
Mr. Daunt believes it's that feeling of individuality that will lure in the next generation of customers. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
The generation younger than millennials has been downloading like mad a social media app called TikTok, but it's from China, and Washington has national security worries. Senators have asked TikTok execs to testify today, but so far that's not happening. Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
The Chinese app TikTok lets users play short music and dance videos and has more than a billion downloads. But Congress fears China's government could use it to export propaganda and seize user data. TikTok's refusal to testify could backfire, says national security lawyer David Hanke at Arrant Fox.
Declining to appear before Congress was really a mistake, really an unforced error. I think this is probably going to exacerbate the concerns.
TikTok says data on overseas users isn't stored in China, and it hired an American consultancy to audit its data practices. Will Heidlich is with the government affairs firm Bauer Group Asia.
That consulting firm says all of its data is held in Virginia and in Singapore, and its policies are such that no data could be shared back with Beijing.
Still, TikTok could be the latest Chinese company facing suspicion. Already, the telecom firm Huawei and several mainland surveillance firms are banned from U.S. business. I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Now I want to talk about an innovation in education with roots in Africa that has global ambitions. The African Leadership University, with campuses on the Indian Ocean island of Mauritius and in Rwanda in East Africa, asks students to choose a problem to solve, a mission, not really a major. Students figure out the curriculum with faculty advisors. Students pay not up front, but with a percentage of future income. Fred Swanaker is the founder and CEO of the African Leadership Group. He's a Stanford-trained entrepreneur from Ghana. Mr. Swanaker, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Give me some examples of how you've rethought the process of educating people.
Well, you see, so most education today is what I call just-in-case education. You learn all kinds of facts and figures just in case it becomes relevant to you. But the fact is most people never use what they learned in college. So one of the things we do differently is instead of giving you a menu of academic disciplines, we say pick a challenge that you're passionate about solving and then curate your learning experience around that problem. And then we ask you to not declare an academic major, but rather to declare a mission.
So someone might say solving a public health problem.
Exactly. So you pick that and that's your mission. And then you today, because, you know, today we live in a world where information is ubiquitous. So that allows you as a learner to really curate the world's best content. You can take a course online from Harvard, one from MIT, one from Oxford, and pick all the best in one place for yourself. So the whole idea is to really structure your learning around the problems you want to solve and not just from a menu that the university gave you.
Is it a challenge to get potential employers, businesses, governments who are trying to hire people to recognize the fact that you don't actually graduate, that it's lifelong learning?
Not necessarily, because they have you in there. I mean, so one of the things we're increasingly doing is corporate training. So, for example, we worked recently with GE to transform engineers that they had who were what I'd call analog engineers that were, you know, that learned engineering 15 years ago. In 1 year, we converted them into digital engineers, right, by teaching them data science and machine learning and artificial intelligence and so forth. So as companies are seeing the impact that we can have on their workforce, that immediately changes the way they think about learning.
And Africa has already a large workforce, but it's going to grow, and it's a potential that is not fully tapped.
Yes. I mean, by 2035, which is less than 16 years from now, Africa will have the largest workforce in the world.
Largest workforce in the world?
1 billion people. And so we are on a race to develop 3 million leaders during that time. But at the same time, we're realizing that what we've developed in the process is not just an African innovation, but a global innovation. So we actually are looking to bring this model of learning to the US, to Asia, to Latin America, to different parts of the world, because we think we've been able to develop something that can hopefully help the entire world to unlock its human potential.
Fred Swanaker is a former McKinsey man who's the boss at the African Leadership Group. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, David.
There's his Mauritius and Rwanda campuses. He has a high school in South Africa and leadership development programs in Kenya, South Africa, and soon in Nigeria. And Microsoft Japan has results from a 4-day work week experiment conducted in August. Employees were given Fridays off all month to see if it would boost productivity. It went up 39.9%. They limited meetings to 30 minutes max. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.